Fred Film Radio, Festival de Cannes, France.
Angelo Cerbi, Fred Film Radio from the Cannes Festival. I'm here with Hildur Palmason, the director of Godland. Let's start with the background of the film, the Danish-Icelandic dynamics at those times.
What I read was that, and what I researched was that during that period, it's sort of, we don't say what year it is, but it's, I think it's around maybe 1870, 1875, something like that. And during that time, the Catholics and the Lutherans were sort of fighting for dominance, and but like most of the Icelanders were heathens, you know. They were believed in the heathen gods, like back in the Viking age. So it was that kind of setup. Iceland was under the Danish crown, so they were there was a hierarchy of like the priests in Iceland were moved to Denmark to study and came back, and then these Danish priests came to Iceland to see how it was going and etc. So that is kind of a simple version of like the situation. But I think it was very interesting. There were a lot of interesting things going on, and there was a lot of change nearing the end of the century. And I was interested in what I wanted to explore were the opposites of these countries, because Denmark and Iceland have a rich history, but we were under the Danish crown at that time. So I wanted to explore the opposites of these two countries, both in, to start out in a very naive way, saying like, okay, we have a red flag, we have a blue flag, we have different languages, and let's work with that, and like the source of the language and misunderstanding and miscommunication, and like, because a Dane does not understand an Icelander, and vice versa. But if you are Icelandic and understand Danish, you are higher in the hierarchy. So there are things like this that I wanted to explore. There is the landscape. Iceland and Denmark are completely opposites in landscape. Iceland is like a volcanic island with mountains and glaciers and black beaches, etc. And Denmark has these beautiful white beaches and is completely flat with trees. So the whole film was almost throwing these opposites together and like playing with it, exploring it.
The seven pictures that are mentioned in the intro of the film are a true story.
It is actually something that I made up for myself. I started writing in 2014, and at that time I started filming like some of the scenes, like the seasonal scenes, like the horse rotting, or it took 2 years. So these things were part of like the development of writing process, and because we back then we didn't have anything financed, so and that's how I do. I work on things that I have no idea if they get financed, but we start very early filming and researching and developing while I'm writing, and I like that very much.
How did you come up with that specific story? That was this priest that had to fight to face his own devils, demons, basically.
I actually don't know like where the trigger is, but I think I'm sort of born between, I'm sort of between Denmark and Iceland. I'm from Iceland. I grew up there, but I moved to Denmark to study and had my children, and I'm kind of like in between. I'm kind of like Ida, the girl in the film, the young girl, my daughter. She is like also in half almost, but one of the triggers was I went to a conference where there was a Icelandic man called Hörður Geirsson, and he was a specialist in photography, in old photography. And he was talking about the way things were photographed in both the daguerreotype and the collision type that came after in like an 1860 or something. And then he showed photos, and then he showed this kind of woodcut of a man standing with this Syntex, this kind of camera that is almost very kind of symbolic, almost church-like. And when I saw it, I was writing the Godland. So there was like a connection there. And I just I just realized that the priest was carrying a camera.
And the format of the film is linked to the pictures format, right?
Yeah, and it was a pleasant surprise. I mean, I shot my last film on Super 35, which is a wider format, but a smaller image. I mean, it's wider and it's bigger for us, but it's a smaller negative. And I had problems with filming faces with this format, and I knew that I wanted to frame my films differently in the next one. So I was exploring formats, and I tried the old Academy format, which is 1:33, and I started shooting not only the cropped image, but also it has like a more feminine curves on the side, like very beautiful curves that come up and down, and I tried to have them with in the image. And this format also fits very well with Lucas's camera or lens. He has an 8x10, which is almost the same format. So it all fitted together a little bit, and became it became very obvious for us to pick the format. It felt right.
You started writing this film before A White, White Day. Had your experience on that film somehow influenced the screenplay of this one?
I started actually when I finished film school, 2012 or 13 maybe. I started like writing and researching three projects, and that is like now I'm finishing my third film. So it was like Winter Brothers, White White Day, and it was called A Priest back then, but now it's called Godland. But those three projects were the ones that I started, but I was working parallel on all of them, so I was writing them parallel. And I do that. So now I have a couple of projects that I'm working on. I'm filming a little bit, writing a little bit. And none of it is financed, you know. So I think White White Day had a lot of impact. And I think I'm at a crossroads now. I feel like I'm at a crossroads.
Can we talk about the language? It seems like it is an additional character in the film.
Yeah, I mean, I do think a lot about the source of language was one of the, like, one of the drives for me to make the film. I mean, this kind of, like I said before, the idea of these opposites and this miscommunication, and I mean, that was one of the sources. And I mean, in Iceland there is a big tradition of storytelling in Iceland, and that comes from song and rhymes, or what do you call them in English? Hymns, I think. And if I think about it, all of the hymns in the film that he's singing are very, it's, some of them are like, one of them is like a modern text, probably from 1980 something. And then there are some that are really old, and then there are like almost like murder ballets that were sung like, that I couldn't find exactly where they were from, but they were sung in Swedish and Norwegian and different, you know, all over the place.
I wanted to ask you something about the locations and nature. Nature is like a major character here.
Yeah.
And how much the location scouting influenced the visual creativity of the film? Did you have to adapt some of your ideas to location, to nature's, or vice versa?
I think the film is like, I write for certain spaces or places that I know. So, for example, the seasonal scenes with Lucas is where I pick mushrooms with my kids. And it is my surrounding. So it's like the mountains with the horses coming up the trail is a trail I went with my parents when I was little many times. There's like, it's a long walking path in the mountains, which you can't go by car. You have to go there, like, so it's a long travel. We had to travel by horse and by hiking. So all of the places are, I mean, they are not, I don't, they don't feel like locations. They almost feel like spaces I know and I revisit every year. And so it's like, yeah, it's places that I hold very dear, and I wanted to. For example, the place where the marsh where Lucas sort of, it's like his last breath almost before the volcano, that is that was shot during the beginning of summer when it's bright 24/7, and And when you're there, like, it's completely silent. But when the sun comes up, or it doesn't really come up because it's already up, you can hear, like, the whole marsh, like, wake up. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's like a million birds, bird types. And they're like, and because I've experienced it, I tried to write it into the script. So I have to spend a lot of time on all of these places to be able to write them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I really can't write. You know, I would not be a good writer, or I don't think I'm a good writer, but I couldn't be at home writing, you know, scripts and just
imagining without being there.
No, yeah. I can't. No.
And also, the narrative pace of the film was like following nature, following the spaces. Because the narrative pace, especially the first part, is really, really slowly, I mean, drags you into the difficulties and the harshness of this trip. So this was another choice that was like this from the beginning, or while you were shooting, you got that you needed a slower pace.
I mean, I really don't think about fast or slow. Uh-huh. I really do think about, I really do see a film as like a composition. I don't want it to be just like a hack job. I want it to move. Like, I want it to have a rhythm. I sometimes need it to slow down, and I need people to breathe. And I sometimes need it to go faster. So what me and Julius, my editor, try to do is try to like, to really make it flow. And so for me personally, it flows really well. Me and Julius, we are very, I mean, we think it's, we finished the editing and we thought it flowed really well. But people sometimes say it's slow, but I understand it, because if you think about, you know, more traditional things or television, of course, it would feel very slow. But I'm not trying to make it slow. And I'm really not, that is not my, that is something I really don't want. I don't want it to be slow, but I want you to be able to. I want the individual watching the film. I want to create some space for him so he can experience something, and I want him to have his own opinion on things. I don't want to dictate what he should think. You know? Do you know what I mean? It's like
But I mean, I was not saying that the film is. I mean,
no.
The flow is I got it.
There is a certain rhythm and flow.
And it works.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, it's slower than usual.
Absolutely.
Let's say that there.
And I think it's because I am like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably, I am a little bit slow, and I am a little bit like, I can zone out a lot. You know, it's kind of like a tree growing, you know, and then suddenly a branch goes over here, and then suddenly I'm somewhere else. And my films are also like that. It's like, we are going here, but suddenly there's something interesting here, and then, you know, I follow the horse for a long time. And so I think the film is a little bit like that also.
Well, thanks a lot to Hildner Palmason, the director of Godland. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.